Hey guys, fresh podcast. It's Wednesday. It's Valentine's Day. I got a lot of opinions about that. And we'll get to some of those here in a little bit because I just met a new friend. His name is Corey Polk. Jared's here too. Hey, Jared.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome. Corey here is my main man. We're talking to these the pork guys, right? And Corey comes in. It's Valentine's Day. And Casey's back here convincing me that I need to get my wife something. And the way I look at it, Jared, I was trying to convince our friend Tommy Birch of this last night. Like, mm-hmm. Wake up. Your girlfriend is lucky to be with you. And don't forget that. Like, you don't need to go out and spend $200 on her tomorrow.
I don't know that this is the best time for Tommy to go on any crusades like that.
This is true. Regardless, my main man Corey comes in here and he hears the conversation, and you completely agree with me.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you. My wife and I have a little bit of a joke. We're not big on certain holidays, and Valentine's Day happens to be one of them. So
you just think it's all commercialized.
Yeah, a little bit.
They literally created a holiday for us to go out and spend money.
Right. It's kind of a Hallmark pressurized industry. I mean, who wants to go out and spend $4 or $5 on a card that...
It's a piece of paper.
Piece of paper that's going to get thrown away. So...
Isn't Santa Claus kind of commercialized too?
What do you mean?
I mean...
He's a cultural figure.
Yeah, but he's made up.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a spoiler alert for any kids out there.
Well, you can't say spoiler alert after you say that.
But see, in your entire life, you're growing up, you're convinced that Santa is real.
But what is the true meaning of Christmas?
Exactly.
So that's where Christmas, yeah, every year the stores start putting out Christmas stuff sooner and sooner. And that's commercialized versus actually, spending it with family and eating. So that's just thoughts on Valentine's Day because, we're going to grab a pizza, we're going to hang out and do some nice things for each other, like a massage. So it's...
You buy a massage or you give massages?
Give massages. Okay. It's a cheaper way. Come on, Chris.
This is my guy right here. And I need a wife like yours who, sees through all the BS here.
She's a very real person. She's a better person than me.
Well, that's the whole goal of marriage, right?
Right.
I think I can say the same thing. Corey, what are you... Before we are going to talk some Cyclones, I know that you're probably frustrated with last night's game, much like I was. What is your... You're an environmental specialist?
Yes.
What does that mean?
So, environmental specialist, I deal, obviously, per se, environmental in that industry with pork. And I work in Ames for Prestige Farms. And I deal on the, many people, they look at the pork industry. Obviously, the pig is main concern. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You eat pork. You like pork.
But yeah, yeah.
In my role, I look at it. I got to take care of the other end. And so a little bit about what I do is, manure management plans.
Yeah.
They're books that are associated with some of our sites that we have in Iowa. And they're record keeping. They got contracts in there with some of our farmers. They've got projections from year to year, with the manure and as well as, application records each season that, mm-hmm. I deal with on the working with the farmers and putting paperwork together. It's, we're not short on paperwork there as far as showing, making sure that, what we've done is on paper. So
what did you get a degree in?
So,
because this seems like it could be go a number of different ways.
Well, I guess my past, I've been in agriculture my whole life, and I grew up on a small farm with beef cattle and was around hogs. And, I actually went to Iowa State, got a degree in dairy science. And so,
interesting.
And my dad steered me a little bit that way. You know, obviously you get to college, you kind of have a change of plans. I would say I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. That's a pretty common with me, but
sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, how I got into this, I enjoy what I do. You know, it just one of those things where if it falls in your lap and it's a great company to work for. And, you know, I guess I don't, if that answers your question.
No, yeah, yeah. I didn't know if you were like animal science or if like, or like what route you would have gone to that or just ag or, you know.
Well, yeah ag.
My wife's a veterinarian. Okay. So I'm always kind of anything that has to do with animals, I kind of perks up because I know a lot of it. I know a ton of veterinarians who are in, you know, some of them are in research, some are large animals, some are small animal.
Right. And that actually goes back to me growing up. Well, every kid wants to do this, wants to do that. And
yeah.
I actually grew up wanting to be a vet. And,
okay.
You know, again, you get to college, you change plans a little bit. And so I've always liked livestock. And
okay.
So, you know, I studied that and, you know, I ended up kind of in the livestock field and, you know, Prestige, I've been with them for about 4 years now.
What is Prestige Farms? Is it just a group of farms or?
So Prestige Farms, it's kind of an independently owned, family company out of North Carolina.
Okay.
And so, you know, they've been around a while, and we have an office in Ames. And so, I've been, with them 4 years. We have production sites across the state of Iowa, about, 30 counties. And, you know, we're spread out enough. You know, we're a top 10 pork producer in the nation. You know, obviously those pigs come in from wean to finish and mm-hmm. they've got to come from somewhere. So a lot of our sows are located in North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi and Oklahoma as well. So, you know, we're a decent sized company.
All right. Let's take a break on the pork stuff for a little bit. And we got to talk about the game last night. I thought Jared, mm-hmm. I went back and watched this again. That was as frustrating of a loss to me as Oklahoma State and Texas were. For real. Like, you guys jump in if you want, but I thought that Iowa State played pretty poorly last night, I thought, on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, I could point out, like, coulda, shoulda, a lot of stuff in that game.
Yeah. Did you read Travis's column after the game last night?
No, I have not.
All right, well, I mean, there's a point that he makes in there where it's about how good these past couple Iowa State teams have been at exploiting mismatches.
Yeah.
And I think last night was one of those times where you really saw how big of a difference there is between this team and those past teams, where they just don't see it. Or I don't know if it's that they don't see it or they're just not as good as.
Well, it's similar to your piece.
Exploit it. And this was even on the forums today where there's times where, you know, Solomon Young's posting up Devontae Graham, and that's a time, or that's a situation where any time that he's posting up a guard that small,
mm-hmm.
you get him basketball. And they're not doing it, you know. And Kansas, I mean, they played a defense to where it's like, we're going to put as much pressure on your guards as we possibly can. We're not going to double down on your posts very hard. And we're going to make you throw the ball into the post and play that way. And they just wouldn't do it. And they you see those plays where Donovan Jackson's at the top of the key and he's dribbling between his legs and he's crossing over a bunch of times and he's trying to drive in the lane. He gets a shot blocked or he misses a layup or something like that. And it's just, I think that last night was when you really saw where if a team is able to take away their first couple options, they kind of panic, you know, and then that's how you end up with an offensive performance like they had last night, which they weren't terrible offensively. They weren't good, but that's how you end up with Donovan Jackson and Lindell Wigginton combining to shoot 4 of 21 or whatever it was.
I think it was 4 of 18, but you know,
no, they stretched it out.
Did they?
It got worse.
Yeah. Well, that's the last stat I remember.
And yeah, it got worse.
It's just a piece of that is, you know, when they combine for the freshmen, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're very talented, but, you know, seven and nine turnovers, I think, at one point. You know, and they did well getting the ball in the post where Solomon and Lard would do a move or you know, exploit the defense and then pass it out, or, you know, they effectively made field goals off that. Mm-hmm. But at times they went away from it, and you know, there were the costly turnovers that killed the momentum, and it was just tough to come back from.
I think too, when I watched the tape, and I don't know if they would ever admit that this is the case, but I think Babb being back impacted Wigginton.
Mm-hmm. It, like, messed up his spacing, I think.
It really did, because you could see when Babb was in the game, Donovan and Lindell both were kind of like,
what do we do? Yeah.
Where they've been in attack mode.
Yeah.
And last night I thought it was more that junky, we don't know what to do in the half court. Where they should have been dumping it into the post, and they weren't. But I think that, and again, I don't know if Steve would admit that, because he doesn't want to make Nick look, because clearly Nick played well.
Right.
Well, and I thought Tally was effective in some of that junkyard ball that you referred to. I mean, he just knew his place, and I don't know, what did he have for stat line?
He was 7 for 11 last night.
15 points.
That was one of his best games ever.
Yeah.
See, and this is what is frustrating to me. It kind of goes back to your point, where when you get early on in the game, you get a 6-point lead before the under 12 timeout. And I think Solomon had 4 points. I think Cam had 6 points. And so those two guys are getting buckets almost every time they touch the ball down low. I mean, Cam was 5 for 5 from the field in the first half.
You also had to factor in Young had 2 fouls.
Yeah, that's true.
So he had to sit.
But then even Jeff Beverly's knocking down a shot. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they were letting the big guys beat them.
Yeah.
But, and think back to when, like, think back when Deontay Burton would get on a roll in some of those games. Monte'd keep throwing in the ball. And it's like, Deontay's hot right now. We got to keep getting him the basketball. Or Naz knocks down a couple threes. We got to get another shot for Naz. Or George gets on a roll. Keep throwing the ball to George in the post and let him go to work. And it's like I don't know that they don't recognize it or what it is, but you get a couple of those buckets like that, and then all of a sudden somebody's like, oh, now it's my turn. Like, I'm not throwing it down there. I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, and that's why I don't know this, but it looked to me like a lot of those times, because I specifically, the first 10 minutes of the second half were bad.
Yeah.
As far as what you're talking about. So that I watched that 3 times.
How many of those... We were talking about this during the game. How many times did Nick Wildbab take one dribble and shoot the ball either 1 foot inside the three-point line or on the three-point line?
Three or four.
Yeah.
And then I think Lindell and Donovan
did that a couple times,
they
too.
They got pressed because Nick was getting more shots, and they weren't getting as many. And I think they were pressing to get theirs, which I think Steve, my guess is when they really watch the tape as a team, is going to be really disappointed in that, because I saw a lot of, like, one-on-one stuff that we haven't seen for a while. Which, I'll say this, I'm going to go on the record right now, I think they can beat Kansas State on Saturday. I think that they can clean this up. I really do.
Yeah.
I think this could be one of those games where we're, like, really surprised by an outcome.
The only problem is I think they dug themselves too big of a hole where, you know, the NCAA tournament talks probably out of it's out of the
Let's just
picture.
Get to the NIT.
Yeah.
That's kind of my goal at this point.
I mean, it's plain as day is there's a foundation here that's being built. And
are you excited? I mean, you're just a fan. You go to Hilton. Like, are you – like, has this season rubbed off on you in a negative way? Or are you – I'm more excited personally.
I kind of had these type of expectations. I mean, the freshmen are further along than what I thought they would be. I mean, they're kind of carrying the team in a way. You know, you think about next year with Shayok coming in, and then, you know, the newly freshman recruits coming in, there's a lot of talent there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're not losing a whole lot. and they're bringing a lot back and bringing more in, and so the depth will be there. It's just a matter of how long does it take to gel.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. So I was thinking about this, and Jared, we need to do a I told you last night, we need to do a podcast that's all about this. But on Saturday night, like, I was so excited about how, the way those freshmen played. Like, I got home, and I was just like a little kid in a candy store Christmas morning, cliche, whatever. Because I was so jacked up about, like, the potential in, like, next year. And I started, like, piecing together lineups. It's fascinating what Prom's going to be able to do next year. I don't think people – I think a lot of people think Horton Tucker is going to be good. Like, I have a guy in Chicago, and I don't want to say his name, but he's a guy in Chicago. Think about it. He's in love with Horton Tucker. Like, in love with him. Thinks that he's going to be, like, all Big 12 type. And, like, this guy thinks that he could do this soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you factor in that, Jacobson – which I didn't realize this, Jared. You know more about his game than I do. I didn't realize he could step out and shoot it.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I didn't know that about him.
See, that's the thing about when he was playing in Nebraska is that him and we talked about this with Ed Morrow at the time, that both of them had to play with their back to the basket so much just because that's what they needed them to do, you know?
The next year's team has so many options, and I'm
–
See, like Corey here, I'm actually, to be honest with you, like, I'm with you, man. I didn't think – I thought Wigginton would be really good. Never in my wildest dreams did I think Lard would be the player he is.
Right. I mean, at times early on, you kind of saw it. But again, I think he does – he's so aggressive that he does get into foul trouble. And he can – early on, he never really got into a flow. Well, now you're seeing it that he's – they got him into the starting lineup. And, you know, he's a little bit smarter as far as how he fouls or when. And he knows his surroundings a little bit better.
The thing about him too, Jared, is when he first got here, the reports and the under rumblings of the program were not great. It was
that's the point I wanted to make. Think about so that Silvio D'Souza that played last night for Kansas, third big guy. He is basically in the same situation that Lard is in. I mean, Lard was older because D'Souza should be a high school senior right now, but he showed up in January. So this is what Lard would have been doing last year. If they played him, he would have been that third big man. And, I mean, he played, 3 minutes last night? Is it worth wasting a year of eligibility to do that?
No.
Or let him sit out the
And what do you do to him mentally if he's getting his butt kicked out?
Exactly.
There?
Let him sit out those couple months and just learn the ropes of it all. And then he gets thrown into the fire as a redshirt freshman. He's already been in the program for 9 months by the time they're starting practice again. And that's just 9 extra months of preparation. And he doesn't have to go through a period of where you're adjusting to college basketball while actually playing games against college basketball players, not like practicing against your teammates.
Yeah. So speaking of practice, I mean, I don't know how much access you guys have, but I mean, have you watched much of Jacobson as far as how he's coming along?
It's another, like, I'm shocked at how much they love him. Like, I didn't know what to expect. It didn't seem like in the recruiting process that he was, like, a priority. Prohm loves him. Absolutely loves him. Like, I think he'll start next year. I really do. I think he'll start over Solomon Young.
Really?
He's like Solomon, but he can, like you said, he can shoot the ball a little bit more. He can put the ball on the deck a little more than what Solomon can. And Andy's equally as athletic and just
so
as tall.
Is he a stretch four or stretch five?
I mean, he's probably a stretch four.
He knows his game really well.
You put him next to Lard. That's a pretty formidable duo. And that, like Solomon off
that's
as
how
sixth
I see
man.
It. Them as the four and the five. Jacobson as the four and Lard at the five.
And then you have Shayok at the three and Lindell and
I have Lindell at the one and Horton Tucker at the two.
So then you bring Babb off the bench?
We have a problem here. There's too many options.
I was mapping out matchups like I said on this is what a life I live. You know, it's Saturday.
This is your Saturday night.
It's Saturday night. I'm sitting in my basement by myself with a glass of bourbon and I have a notebook. And I'm handwriting out different matchup options for Prohm in 2018, 2019. It's a terrible life that I live. I think this is the best five next year. Wigginton at the one, THT at the two, Shayok at the three, Jacobson at the four, Lard at the five. Yeah, and you got Babb and Solomon as your guys off the bench.
All right, so
And Tally.
Let's hope Terrence Lewis can come around. Like, I don't think they've given up on him.
That's just a lot of depth.
So
don't be Fran McCaffrey. You keep it. I think Steve ideally will play eight guys. I don't think he'll ever go farther than that.
So in that scenario, you go 6-2 at the one with Wigginton, 6-5 at the two with Horton Tucker, 6-5-6-6 with Shayok, 6-9 with Lard, and then like 6-8-6-9 with Michael Jacobson.
You answer this to me in a basketball.
That's your starting lineup. Think about where they're at right now to go to that.
I'm still surprised that Young just isn't in there yet. I mean, he's a starter now. So you think he's gonna give that up? No,
it could be a problem. I mean, you're right, Jared. Am I wrong though to just take Nick Babb out of the lineup?
See, and that's the only thing I don't know. Like that,
I think
that's what I'm saying. That would be.
I think Orton Tucker has a higher ceiling than he does.
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like
you can't talk about somebody that's not here yet. So
would Prohm actually bench a senior like Nick Weil or Babb?
No, I mean there's effective leadership there.
I know.
See, and I think
keep in mind, guys, this is me in my basement with like three bourbons. Okay, yeah. This is what I came up with. This is not what the coach did. I don't want like this to pop up on Twitter like I misrepresented the situation.
Yeah, but you know that. All across Cyclone Fanatic, there's lineup.
Oh, yeah. We're all scribbling them out. And it changes by the game, too.
I would be worried about what that would do to Nick mentally.
And Solomon, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't worry as much about Solomon.
Really? Because I worry more about Solomon and less about Nick.
I think Solomon would be fine playing the sixth man role. Because he's still get a lot of minutes. I mean, he'll still be their number three big.
20 minutes a game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they have those three bigs plus, I mean.
But, like, did Taylen Horton Tucker commit to Iowa State to come off the bench?
And that's what I'm saying. I could see it being where Nick starts at the beginning of the year. And then, I mean, Taylen Horton Tucker comes out and is killing it. And then all of a sudden it's like, we got to put him in the
like
starting lineup.
Like a Beverly Lard deal?
Slightly different than Beverly Lard because I think that we can probably all agree that Nick Weiler Babb has slightly more talent than Jeff Beverly.
I still think Horton Tucker will get his minutes, but I mean, Babb will still be in there.
All right.
I don't know. I think that you have to roll with Babb on some level just because he.
Okay, you guys are right. Like, I don't deny any of that. But I do think that I have the best starting lineup.
Oh, yeah.
The one that I came up with. I think that's the strongest starting lineup.
And if that was the starting lineup in conference play, I wouldn't be shocked at all. But I'm saying game one, when Missouri comes to the Coliseum,
you're probably right.
I think that Babb will be in there for Horton Tucker.
The thing is, like, I love Babb. Like, I'm not killing the guy.
Why not?
Who's going to be the best player next year? I mean.
Why not get into a scenario where you run Lindell as the one?
They're loaded.
You run Lindell as the one. The majority of the time, Nick's your sixth man. He comes in as your backup point guard. You can slide Lindell over to the two. You can slide Shayok to the two. There's just all kinds of different combinations that you can work with. You don't have to play Lindell as many minutes. Nick doesn't have to play as many minutes after playing like 35 minutes a game. So you keep him as a point guard, but then he effectively becomes your backup point guard rather than having to – he is like your Monte to DeAndre Kane. And it gives you flexibility with what those other guys can do.
Does he do this with football too?
No, he's more of a basketball guy.
Well, I was going to say.
He's really good at basketball.
Yeah, I get that.
We've kind of hit our niche in the staff where I've become more of the football guy and you're more of the basketball guy, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's just weird, though, because when I started off, I was a basketball guy, but I've kind of gone to the other side.
Well, look, we have a nice problem as Iowa State fans here next year. There's a lot of hype, which – needs to be.
Do you feel this way, Corey? I think that next year is the most anticipated sporting year in Iowa State history with both sports.
I would agree.
And then sprinkle a little wrestling in there. They're getting better. I mean, they're not going to be great next year, but they're not going to be terrible.
Right. But, I mean, if you think about the money they've spent on coaches, the recruiting that has taken place as far as building each year to year, then yeah, which rightfully so, we should have expectations, but we'll see what happens.
Would 2001 probably be like the only year that could rival it? I mean, you're coming off the first bowl win.
You're right.
Tinsley's coming back.
That's a good Bloom podcast call.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to realize that's kind of before my time, but you're right. I mean,
that's obviously before my time too, but I'm just saying.
How old were you in 2001?
7 years old.
How old are you, Corey?
Right now, I'm 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a little younger than me.
Right.
2 years younger than me. But yeah, Jared's a pup.
I'm guessing, so how old are you then?
33.
33?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're slightly older than me then.
Yeah. All right, that's good talk. I got some pork talking points here. This number one, this always fires me up. So I got a ton of my friends are farmers, okay? And I always hear people talking about how farmers are like destroying our soil quality and all this stuff. And like, there's probably bad apples like in any society and stuff who don't follow rules and stuff. But like my buddies are the most like environmentally like conscious people I know, like who are farmers. And my talking point here is the number one thing is farmers are true environmentalists, which that's what I always believe too. So let me ask you this, like, how do we shut some of those people up that just don't know what they're talking about when it comes to that?
Well, I mean, it comes with, you know, the Iowa Pork Producers Association and you know, along with industry partners and Prestige and myself. And, you know, we kind of voice that and say, hey, you know, farmers are the true environmentalists. I mean, they take care of the soil. You know, they make sure that, hey, water needs to be high quality. Right. And, you know, a lot of them have a lot of community involvement too. And, you know, they recognize the importance of these issues. And, you know, preservation is key, you know, for their grandchildren and children.
Because they're wanting to pass these down most of the time.
Right. Right. And so, you know, you talk to farmers, they want to leave the soil better than what they started with. And so, you know, they're implementing different practices as far as keeping that soil in place. I mean, it's, you know, 3/4 of farmers that I know, based on just the Iowa Soybean Association, you know, they say they use these strategies like cover crops and mm-hmm. and buffer strips and reduced or no tillage, bioreactors, precision farming, terraces, grass waterways. Mm-hmm. And when farmers are utilizing those practices, they're keeping that soil in place. And, you know, that's the last thing they want to do is have their soil from their farm just erode away and you know, lose that soil health. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, as you know, with my job and how that plays a role is you know, these farmers, they love that fertilizer. And mm-hmm. so, you know, manure is important.
Does a lot.
It actually does.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important. It's highly regulated, which, yeah, it should be. It's potent. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's a sustainable source of nutrients for the soil, and, you know, it improves the health of it. And, you know, that fertilizer has value. Annually, I mean, you can calculate it out. It looks like $15,000 to $20,000 worth, you know, that they obtain to put in the ground. And, you know, like anything, it's a great cycle that we live here in Iowa, because, you know, you have the manure, you apply it, and then, you know, it grows a nice crop. Well, you take that crop, you feed it right back to the pig, and then so on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an important piece. So, of course, we pay highly attention to it because, you know, it's important to take care of that.
I mean, that's like the definition of sustainability too, though, what you just described.
Right. So
low cost for the most part.
Exactly. So, you know, it's important that they get those nutrients, but it's also important that on our end, you know, we find people that do the right job as far as do it well. And, you know, in the industry, you know, we have our manure applicators. I mean, if you're out on your dad's farm or anything, you know, I'm assuming you're seeing manure haulers.
Yeah.
And they need to be certified. And so, you know, anytime that we work with the manure haulers, we make sure that they're certified and you know, making sure they follow protocol and our rules and apply what's recommended for the crops in order for that farmer to benefit from it.
What do you what's something that folks who have not been around like agriculture much, you know, the city people who haven't been around it as much, what's something that they don't know about like the farming industry that you wish more people did know? Because I see that all the time, though, because I'm from a very rural area. And I know, like, the struggles that a lot of my friends go through and, like, and all that. And I just wish, like, up here that people understood more.
Well, I mean...
You know where I'm going with that? Like, because part of the reason we wanted to do this is to educate people. And I think the more people can understand, like, the importance of all this, the better it could be.
I would just say, you know... The farmers are a backbone because, you know, with the hours that they put in, I mean, you know, they, through a snowstorm, what are you guys doing? You're watching the roads, you know, making sure that your family's safe and
yeah.
Well, out on the farm, they've still got to do their job.
Yeah.
Regardless of it. And they've got to, make sure the livestock's tended to, and buildings now have made that easier as far as, you know, moving the pigs indoors. But, you know, it's just important that they know how hard our industry works.
It's a lot of sacrifice.
Right. And delivering a wholesome, healthy product, but also, be environmentally sound. And, you know, we're making sure that that's happening.
What's your favorite pork recipe? I'm going to ask all you guys this.
Besides the almighty bacon that everybody...
You gotta love that.
Yeah,
but... Put the maple on it, the sugar.
You're gonna make me hungry again.
Oh, yeah.
So, I would say that probably a nice, big, old, thick, healthy pork chop that, you know, you grill it like a steak. I don't know how...
Yeah, you just do that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Iowa Pork Producers, I mean, we're promoting that to where you make sure it's an internal temperature of 145. And
that's 145?
Yeah, it's 145. And so, it leaves the juices in there.
What's perfect? Is perfect 145?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you take it off the grill at, you know, 140 and it let it sit there for a little bit, it'll increase temperature to 145. But, you know, I can't say 145 for everything because if you're doing ground pork or pork patties, then, yeah, you still need to get that to 160.
I'm a big, I was telling Dave Moody this last week, but I started doing the smoker last year and I love smoking just the pork loins. Like there's not a lot better you could put on a smoker than that.
Right.
You get it all like seasoned up and everything.
Pork loins are pretty versatile.
Oh, yeah. And it's hard to screw it up. That's the key.
Right.
When you're learning how to use a smoker like I was, like. You don't want to throw a brisket on there because you could destroy that thing pretty quickly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the pork loin is the perfect route to go.
Yeah, and I mean the pork is Monday night I threw a nice old pock shoulder into the crock pot and marinating sweet and sour sauce.
Oh yeah.
And you know I'm one that I like to have several meals, you know, throughout the week.
Yeah.
So that way I can take.
It's hard to beat that.
Right.
Well, we appreciate you coming by. This is fun. I like meeting you guys. And I'm gonna try and swing by the. Do you go out to the state fair? Do you hang out at the pork producer tent?
Yeah. I mean, I've been with Iowa Pork Producers about 3 years now, and okay. I mean on committees, and so
they let me. Do the grill last year.
Right. I've helped out there before in some various events, but yeah, if you're able to run the grill, then you got a good spot.
Well, maybe we can do that, and then we can go over to one of the bars and really map out that starting basketball lineup for next year. No offense to Nick Babb. I think I've got the best lineup. You guys are all, like, worried about everybody's feelings. I want to win games.
This is 2018. Yeah. You got to worry about people's feelings.
You're right. I love you, man. Yeah, that's my main man, Corey. Thank you again for stopping by. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. And
do you got any, like, flaming hot Cyclone takes you want to get off your chest here before we go?
I just hope we can keep Matt Campbell.
Oh, we're going to keep Matt Campbell.
Hope he stays around.
Give him a lifetime contract. That guy's a winner, man.
My buddy, not name any names, but he was following when he bets a lot of college sports. So oh, okay. He followed.
A degenerate.
He bets a lot of Mac, and so he that's where he makes his money.
Betting on the, you know why? It's right. Because those games are under-regulated. Like, Vegas is just, they don't really care at that point.
Right.
And there's not as many people betting them and stuff like that, and you can get really good lines.
So he told me that, you know, when Pollard brought him in, he's like, that's the best hire you can make.
Really?
Yeah.
Just, and he knew this from sports gambling.
He's knowledgeable. He's analytical. So
I need to get to know this guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, these guys are like my best friends, and I didn't even know they existed, Jared. This is great. Yeah, Campbell just, every time I hang out with the guy, he blows me away even more. Like, he teaches me something. It's weird.
He makes you want to run through a brick wall, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. I mean, I pad up for him.
Yeah.
Pad up for him.
Might hurt something, but, you know, it's probably worth it.
I would blow out an Achilles or an ACL and within an hour.
That's why we don't let you come play rec basketball.
Yeah, but like I've told you, Jared, I'm a spot-up shooter, man. You just bring me off of a screen.
Still have to run, like, to go off of a
screen. I'll run from 1 3-point line to the other. I'm not going to defend anybody. I'll put my hand up if we're in a zone.
Uh-huh.
And you just bring me off of screens, and I'm going to hit 5 threes a game. But don't expect me to do anything else. Okay. I'll draw plays for me.
Draw plays for you.
I ain't dumping it into the post if that's what you want. Yeah. I'm taking jump shots. Yeah. Man.
As long as you're behind the 3-point line, I think that'd be okay.
There's no point in doing anything. If you're up to – so, like, this is funny. Bloom and I – you know who Bloom is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Brent Bloom.
Yeah. Bloom and I used to – when we lived together in Shenandoah, we would play the PlayStation, like, NBA Live games and stuff, you know, and we'd do, like, drafts and everything. My team would always be, like – Peja Stojakovic, Dirk Nowitzki. Like, I'd have 5 shooters out there, and all we did was shoot threes, but we didn't play any defense.
Did I tell you I met Peja last year?
You met Peja Stojakovic?
Yeah, at Summer League. He wouldn't take a picture with me, but I got
Why?
To talk to him.
Did you ask him for a picture?
Yeah.
And he shot you down?
He was working, so I shook his hand. That was cool.
You said, can I have a picture?
Yeah,
he said no. And he said no?
Yeah. It's like when I asked Reggie Miller for a picture, he said no, too.
When did you ask Reggie? That was at a tournament.
Yeah, right? The Sweet 16. In Chicago.
I was also there.
He told me maybe later, and then when I ran into him again, he, like, dodged me. He didn't want to take a picture with me. Damn it, Reggie.
That was when I knew when we landed Shayok. I was like, that's a good pickup.
Shayok's a good player.
Yeah.
Shayok's a really good. He's, like, of all the guys we were just running down that lineup, we didn't talk about him enough. He's really good.
Yeah. When Niang, I mean, one of my favorite players in that game, and I mean, it was a fun time out there, but
man, I forgot that he played against Iowa State. Yeah. I had forgotten that.
A lot of people do, and wow. You know, he was a sophomore that year.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you saw so much potential in him when he drove to the basket, and the problem was he probably wasn't the right system for him. So yeah, bring him on over to Iowa State. We'll take care of him.
We'll take him.
Imagine how good they'd be if he was still there. I mean, they're already the number one team in the country, Virginia.
Yeah.
He wants to join a real school.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Iowa State University.
There you go, yeah.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Jared, we will see you. I've got Fawcast tomorrow, and then we've got radio. Is Bloom in town tomorrow?
I don't know. I want to
like Bloom's got to start communicating better.
Did you see what I said? I tweeted last night, we need to create a mini game for the forums called Where in the World is Brent?
Yeah, like, come on. Bloom has got to step up and start, like, communicating with us and telling us when he's going to. You can't just write columns after big wins. Like, we need some consistency, man.
I want you to get the message to Charter that I want to come on the podcast so I can set the record straight.
You want to come tomorrow?
On my Tinder usage.
You want to come
tomorrow?
I feel
as though I was misrepresented.
10:30 tomorrow?
All right. I can do that.
All right. 10:30 tomorrow. You'll be on the podcast.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Corey, appreciate you. Later, guys.